Okay, 07491 25000. Tony Mangan, hello to you.
Good afternoon, Sean. Thank you very much for this opportunity to talk about my world run to your listeners.
I didn't think you'd have any breath left.
Well, I've been more or less on the couch since I finished about 10 days, so I'm actually asked, I was asked to do a 5K race in the Phoenix Park to remember and say 5K on Sunday, so it's really a case of couch to five.
Well, Tony, just give us an indication, because this is quite incredible. You began the race when?
Well, actually, expedition. I began my expedition to run around the world at the Dublin Marathon in 2010, so 4 years ago. And it was always my intent to finish with the Dublin Marathon about 4 years later, which was just recently. And so all in all, I completed my dream to run around the world, 50,000 kilometres, five continents, six deserts, 41 countries. It took me 4 years, and it was pretty intense. It was that's what I set out to do. I have my world run documented on my website, theworldjog.com. So it's been quite a run, quite an experience, seeing how the other half of the world lives.
So what kind of obstacles did you come across on a run like that?
Oh, well, to be honest with you, leaving Ireland, I ran across Ireland at the start of it. It was 8 days of torrential rain, and then I continued the run in Canada, in North America, and then through the States. And it was right there I ran through the coldest winter in about 200 years at the time. And so it was freezing cold. I remember many, many days I was running down the highway in the States. And my eyelids were frozen. People were trying to give me goggles to wear. I can't really take the cold, but I was battling on two or three pairs of gloves, really warm gloves. And it was really mind over matter. The police tried to pull me off the road and I ran through some blizzards in the state of Maine, but I stood my ground and they let me run on.
Doing that, Tony, now here you are. Yeah. You're running through hell, really, because you don't like the cold, and you're in a blizzard, and you're away from home, and what keeps you going at that point? What do you think about?
Well, to be honest with you, it was really just a mind over matter. I wanted to do this run. It had been a dream I got more than 20 years previously. And it was really just one of these monster idea dreams that had to be put to bed. I just had to break it up in my mind, knowing that North America wouldn't be like that all of the time, and that I would eventually see warmer climate. So I just kept ticking on. I had to do this, remember. I felt I was put on this earth to run around the world, to be honest with you. That's the way I felt. I remember I'm running through blizzards, pushing a cart. I had my equipment in a cart as I was pushing it. People actually saw me as some kind of a hobo running along, pushing a supermarket trolley. Many people actually stopped and asked me, did I want the job? Did I want some food and whatever? Once I went into a supermarket, I was sitting on some sacks of corn or something like that, and the manageress came up and gave me a double cheeseburger and fries, saying it was on behalf of the staff, they'd love to give me this. People just didn't realize I was actually out there voluntary. But anyway, I got through the tough weather of North America and down through Mexico, and a lot of my run through Mexico, 2,000 out of 4,000 kilometers, was under police escort. So I had a different challenge there. Mexico, as you may or may not know, has a lot of has a pretty bad reputation, which was not what I found, but it has a reputation anyway for drugs cartels shall we say, dodginess going on, especially around the U.S. border. So running across the States and Canada, it was a big joke for many people about me running through Mexico. They were saying to me, the problem is not getting into Mexico, the problem is getting out of Mexico. It was a big joke, ongoing joke in cafes and bars, and people paying for my dinner, saying I'd need it for my bail money, all of this kind of stuff. So by the time I actually, 7 months later, by the time I reached the U.S.-Mexican border, I was starting to get worried, shall we say. And so I emailed the Mexican embassy in San Diego and got a reply saying that they were delighted I was including Mexico as part of my world run. And they asked me for the logistics. And when I gave it to them, they said that they would provide an escort for me. So I was delighted with this, really, because I saw it as support. Having a crew, really, a vehicle to carry my baggage. So that's actually what happened. They were waiting for me at the appointed hour as I crossed over from Mexico, from the US to Mexico. And they weren't with me all the way. Sometimes they were unarmed. Sometimes there was just the civil defense or the regular police or scaringly an ambulance involved. Other times was the escort included the federales, who are the special police, special task force, which was also pretty scary. I never really knew why they decided to escort me. There was about 2,000 kilometres I ran on my own, so I wasn't really complaining, to be honest with you, because they also found places for me to sleep every night, I was delighted with that as well. So anyway, eventually, speaking of extremes, in Mexico, the temperatures reached over 50 degrees. It was off the scale in many places. But the solution for running in extreme heat is obviously run very early in the morning or late at night. You don't really have that option with cold weather, because sometimes it can be even colder at night time. It can be more dangerous due to ice on the road and other hazards and even colder. But at heat, you have this option. So for that reason, I prefer running in heat. So I got to Mexico and I continued running. At this stage, I'd sent on my cart and I was running with just a 2-kilogram backpack, running through Central America in the monsoon. It rained for 2 weeks, torrential rain, all the way through to Guatemala, all the way down to Panama, into South America, Colombia, and the start of the Andy Mountains. So I did hit an energy crisis in Ecuador in the Andes. It was pretty tough. There was climbs of 50-kilometer long drags up mountains, and I reached the highest point of the whole run in the Andes, just 15 meters short of 5,000 meters. It was absolutely incredible, and this was in the winter, because I didn't have any. I remember, I was just running with a 2-kilogram backpack. And I didn't have any camping equipment, but in much of Latin America, what I was doing was I was staying in cheap hotels, and sometimes there might be a hotel that was 30, 40, 50 kilometers down the road off my route. So what I used to always do was I used to photograph the location that I'd finished my day, take a minibus, and then leave my backpack in the hotel and return. Always, this is very important, to the exact same location and continue the next day. Because I was commuting forward, I could run to my backpack and stay in the hotel that night and then continue on. But it was pretty slow going because there was a lot of commuting involved. There were many times I just didn't have this option, but I managed to hustle my way into schools and people that put me up right for the night in villages.
Getting back to home, what was that feeling like?
It was unreal, to be honest with you. I arrived in Ireland from Wales, took the ferry over on the 13th of September, and I decided I would make this lap around the world even harder by a full lap of Ireland. So I even went through Donegal. I remember going over Mull's Gap. Mull's Gap in Donegal. And it was raining and misty, and it was a pretty bad day that day. But the people were wonderful, and I stayed in Lifford in the home of a sister of a club mate of mine. It was wonderful because it was a 20-year dream seeing my family, my friends. And even though the press had considered, once I stepped off the boat, that I had finished my world run, I hadn't finished it technically because I wanted to finish with a full lap of Ireland and to return to the place where I started at the finish line of the marathon.
Just finally, Tony, what's next? Is there a next?
Yeah, I'm going to write a book about my world run, the worldjog.com. And I want to actually to pursue a career as a motivation speaker.
And, I was just thinking, it was in my head when you were talking, you'd be a great motivational speaker because of your experience, and obviously you've a lot of experience to draw upon. You belong to St Bridges Athletic Club, don't you?
Metro St Bridges in Dublin,
yeah. Well, you're an amazing guy, and Tony, well done to you. Congratulations. 50,000 kilometres.
Exactly. The final footstep on the finish line, the Dublin meter marathon, and not a metre more.
I'll tell you, a car would be challenged enough with that one, alone two legs.
I may just mention quickly, because people are probably wondering my route, if you got just half a minute. Across from Dublin to North America, South America, Australia, New Zealand, Asia, from Indonesia all the way up to India, to Iran, and then across Europe from Bulgaria all the way to England and Wales, and then a lap of Ireland. So five continents.
Okay. Well, Tony, again, many congratulations and thanks for joining us.
Thanks very much, Sean. I enjoyed it.
That's the world runner, Tony Mangan.